Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves.
Welcome to the Authors Studio at Book Expo America 2011 in New York City. We're sitting with author Ilse J. Bick, and she's written a book called Draw the Dark. Hello, Ilse. How are you?
Hey there. I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Well, this looks pretty interesting. Your protagonist's name is Christian Cage. He draws, but the drawings seem to have some weird power to them, yes?
Yeah, that's true. Christian's a really interesting young guy because he lives in the middle of this town called Winter, which is in Wisconsin. It has a very dark past. He has a very dark past, a very uncertain past, where his parents, they've disappeared. People are frightened of him. So I kind of went for sort of a Twilight Zone kind of feel, but also really wanted to get some real world history in there, and that's a lot of what the book centers on.
How'd you come up with the idea?
Well, you know, it's kind of complicated. My dad was in a concentration camp, actually three of them, when he was a kid during World War II. And I moved from the East Coast to the Midwest. And you could say that the Holocaust has always kind of been background music for me, something I've always been sort of very interested in. And I moved to this little town in the Midwest, and lo and behold, I move across the street from a Hebrew cemetery. Now, are there tons of Jews where I live? No, there are 50, 5-0. And they're all really old. Most of them are, again, Holocaust survivors, and they've got the terminal dwindles. And I sort of got really interested in, you know, how did that happen, that you have a Hebrew cemetery here, you have a dying population of Jews. It turns out that where I lived used to have about 1,000 Jews there. There used to be a very vibrant community with three different synagogues, but they all disappeared. So I got interested in looking into the history of that. And then I also got interested in looking into the history just of, in general, of Wisconsin, its German roots. And I happened on a really stunning thing for me, and that is that the United States used to have prisoner of war camps for Germans all through the United States. There were about, Wisconsin had 48 of them. And there were, every state in the Union had one, except for, you know, Hawaii. I don't even think it was a state back then in 45. And I thought, you know, what would it be like to be Jewish, live in a town where, you know, people come to town who represent a government and an army that has tried to kill you. And so I wanted to try to tell that story in a way that would be both entertaining but also reveal some interesting dark sides. And Winter has lots of secrets.
I find it odd that you have this Jewish theme throughout, yet your protagonist's name is Christian.
Right, and you know why? Well, because when I moved to Wisconsin, again, we are the only Jewish family in this village. A lot of people have never met a Jew. One thing you learn about people in the Midwest is that they are extremely hardworking, very humble about it. And that's a huge difference between the West Coast and the East Coast. They don't talk about how hard they work. They just do it. And it's just a fact of life. But they've never met a Jew. And, I get questions like, do you really bury people standing up? And, you know, questions like that. And they don't mean it negatively. It's that they just don't know. And I thought, this is stunning for a place that had all these Jewish people. You know, they don't know anything about the history. And some of the people I get the questions from are easily as old as the protagonists in the past in Draw the Dark. And so I made the lead character Christian on purpose, because I really wanted to talk about Christians per se and Christianity in terms of very good Christian people who still may not know the past and maybe a dark past about their town.
So how do you think your readers will be able to relate to Christian and his character?
Well, he is 17, and being a 17-year-old boy, he's kind of angstful. And he's also very exceptional. And I used to be a child psychiatrist, and actually I still am. They say in a psychiatry it either, you know, you're really normal so that you become a psychiatrist, or it takes one to know one. Well, you know, I'm happy to say I'm much better now. But I dealt with tons and tons of adolescents and teens. And, you know, for them, late adolescence in particular is a time of great change, of great adventure, of going off into the future. And they should believe that they're exceptional people, because they are. They've got lots of energy and lots of drive. But Christian also has unresolved issues from his past, just like his town. So Christian struggles with his past and leaving home are the same as the struggles of the past of winter, and he becomes their sort of stand-in. So I feel that kids who are interested in being kids becoming adults, and kids who are trying to leave home because, you know, you need to remember that a parent's job is to be left. That is their job. You shouldn't be looking back at your parents all the time.
So a character study, a psychological study, yet set in the paranormal.
Right, exactly. People have said that I tried to invent a new genre, and I guess that's true.
Why not? Somebody has to, right?
Yeah, right. An historical, paranormal, mystery, psychological thriller. In fact, when this book used to be called Stalag Winter, way back when I wrote it in 2009, and I entered it into the Amazon Breakthrough Novel Award contest, and at that time, they didn't have a YA category. They just had, you know, mystery, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, well, where am I going to put this? I don't want to put it with dragons, because it was the only other thing they had, fantasy. So I put it with mystery. And lo and behold, it made it to the quarterfinals out of, I think, what, 8,000 entries or something? And then it made to the top 100 as a YA paranormal. It didn't win, but that was okay, because I won, because I got to work with the great people at Carol Rhoda Lab.
Well, and it validated.
Yes, I felt like, wow, okay, yes, I can write this book.
Well, that's wonderful. From what I understand, you are quite prolific.
Yes.
Not just Draw the Dark, but five more books coming out, true?
That's right. I have a new dystopian, they call it a dystopian thriller trilogy, another YA, but it's really more of an apocalyptic trilogy.
Explain dystopian.
Well, dystopias, you know, if you want to know, there is a blog. I will actually be doing a guest post on a blog called Dystopian Domination. Everyone, listen to that. Dystopian Domination. Coming out on the 26th.
It sounds like a website I wouldn't let my kids go to.
Well, you should, though, because it has lots of YA authors. It's actually hosted by some wonderful people who contacted me and said, would you write a blog about blah, 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 your book? And so what I try to talk about is why dystopians novels and apocalyptic novels are so attractive to a YA audience. Because I used to also study film and television. I wrote a lot of articles about that. And so I kind of link up dystopian novels and apocalyptic novels with film clips that we would all recognize and some you may not. And so I try to make it entertaining. But anyway.
And multimedia.
And multimedia, because, you know, our attention span is that of a gnat. When you talk about a dystopia is essentially you've got an overarching structure that is very oppressive, that tells you what to do. Now, is this not parents or what? And school. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why they appeal so much to adolescents. And the adolescent task and the tweens in these books spend their whole time trying to break out of these societies. That's what they're about. My book is a tiny bit different in that mine is a disaster in the making. The girl... The book is named Ashes. It is the first of a trilogy coming out through Egmont USA. The next two books are Shadows and Monsters. And it's based on real science. It has a lot of survivalism in it. And it's the disaster happens and then, you know, what happens next. So that's those three books coming out through Egmont.
You seem to have a very fertile imagination. And Carol Rhoda Lab seems to be giving you a lot of support for all this.
Oh, I adore Carol Rhoda Lab. These people are the hardest working, nicest people in the universe. And I love my editor. If I could, you know, bottle him and then spray him on every day, it would be fine, because then I would get through the day. There are times when I feel like I would just like to call him up and say, can I just run something past you? It's not even maybe for you, but can I just say this? I actually have two more books coming out through them, and I hope many, many more. The first book that comes out through them after Ashes, which comes out in September, is in spring 2012, called Drowning Instinct, which is it's not a paranormal, so I'm sorry, everybody, but you know, gosh, hang in there. It's a gritty sort of YA contemporary about a sweet 16-year-old girl who is a princess and a thief and a straight-A student and maybe a killer. So that's that book. And then I have another book coming out with them in spring of 2013 called Sin Eater, which is all about a small Wisconsin town and more dark secrets, and this time murder. And maybe, you know, did the guy see what he thought he saw, or did he see something different?
Well, Ilse, it's been a pleasure. Once again, the most current book is called Draw the Dark from Carol Rhoda Lab. And Ilse, it's been a pleasure. Wish you a lot of luck.
Thank you very much, Les.